Welcome to the Human and Technology Podcast. This podcast is for anyone who develops, distributes, or uses technology. For all those who always have the feeling that technology overwhelms or dominates them. For everyone who wants to know how to deal with technology in everyday life. For anyone who wants to understand what technology does to us and how we can get our lives back. This podcast is for those who want to make technology sexy. All the product developers, designers, UX, UI professionals, product managers, CTOs, and CEOs. And it is for you. My name is Dr. Peter Ryska. My friends call me Dr. Peter. I am your host, and I am happy that you are here.
Hello, hello, and welcome to this episode of the Human Technology Podcast. A little bit of housekeeping. I had originally planned that this episode is the last one before my summer break. Then I realized that early next week is the car HMI in Berlin, the number one conference on automotive HMIs. And so I'll make in 2 weeks from now another episode dealing with the event. So keep it on your playlist. Have a closer focus. There will be one more episode before I make a little summer break, and it will be on the car HMI. Today, I'm continuing this little series about what are the next big challenges in automotive HMI. I made one episode, which was a very generic overview on what are the biggest challenges that I see. And I realized that each and every of these challenges is worth an own episode. And this is what I'm doing. So I talked about multimodality, and I talked about liquid HMI, as I call it. HMI is growing into other instances outside the vehicle. And now, number three are intercultural HMIs. Based on an experience I had a few months ago at an auto show, where I was sitting in a couple of different Chinese cars, I realized that the HMIs that these cars have will probably not work in Europe. And this started my automotive HMI thinking. And I see this as one of the biggest global industry-wide HMI trends that is existing at the moment, that we have to tackle, that we have to work on. And I want to have a little broader view, not only with China, but also more just like on a global basis. I mean, there's more markets in automotive than just the European market and the Chinese market and maybe the US market. There's even more. Yeah, automotive is going to South America, is going to Africa, Southeastern Asia. And all these are different cultural areas. And yeah, this is what I want to talk about. So this podcast episode focuses on the challenge, a rapidly growing challenge, the cultural adaptation of human-machine interfaces, starting with the examination of how Chinese automotive manufacturers shall adapt their HMIs for European users. And from that, What does this teach us about the future of intercultural user experience in a more generic way? As vehicles and software become increasingly more and more global, one question becomes more important than ever. How do we create technologies that feel human, fitting to humans everywhere in the world? Yeah, and then today I'm working myself from a more generic view. I'll start with the myth of the universal user to a sketch, rough sketch of a platform strategy that will allow us as an industry to efficiently develop global solutions. Let's start with the myth of the universal user. Technology development often starts with an implicit assumption, and that was very popular in the past. It's not the only assumption anymore in the industry, but it is still there. People, users, humans are fundamentally the same everywhere. Yeah, if a feature works from a technological point of view, if it is somehow intuitive, then it will succeed in one market and it will succeed in every market. And this assumption is one of the biggest misconceptions in HMI design. While human cognitive capabilities are largely universal, the way people perceive, evaluate, use, buy, apply technology is strongly influenced by culture. Culture shapes how much, for example, control we want to retain, how much uncertainty we tolerate, how much we trust automation. And in general, what role does technology play in my personal everyday life? Consider digital assistance. Some users appreciate proactive recommendations as a helpful support, while others perceive exactly the same behavior as intrusive, as paternalistic, as bossy. Yeah, and the technology is identical. The interpretation of the technology on the user's side is not identical. And vehicles are global products. Since many years, automotive OEMs produce cars for many different markets with minor adaptions. So it is a car is more or less a global product. And so this challenge of handling users from satisfying users from different regions, from different cultures with different backgrounds, becomes increasingly relevant. Yeah, automotive platforms, software architectures, digital service are designed for a global, worldwide deployment, but they meet users with very different expectations, habits, and values. The key question is not whether an HMI is objectively, whatever this means, objectively good or bad. The real question is, who is it designed for? And human-centric design cannot stop at understanding human beings. It must also understand the cultural environments that shapes our users. A quick look at why Chinese HMIs are different. Anyone entering a modern Chinese vehicle quickly notices that many design concepts differ from what European drivers have been used to, have been accustomed to for the past decades. And Chinese cars, large displays dominate interiors, touchscreen interactions replace physical controls, voice assistant take over more and more tasks, and digital services are deeply integrated into the overall experience. And these differences are not merely based on design decisions. They are reflections of the societies for which these systems were created. Over the past two decades, China has undergone an extraordinary digital transformation. Mobile payments, QR codes, digital identities, super apps collecting different functions in one app. They become deeply embedded in everyday life. When my Chinese colleagues were always surprised when they had a look at my smartphone, how many different apps I was having. Yeah, so they had a very low number of apps, because one single app collects and synchronizes different functions. Yeah, so activities that Europeans and US Americans often perform across multiple applications are handled with a few highly integrated ecosystems, app ecosystems in China. As a result, Chinese consumers often expect seamless connectivity and integrated digital experiences from their vehicles. The car is viewed not as an isolated product, but as another component of a larger digital lifestyle. It's the overall digital ecosystem. So it's part of, I have my smartwatch, I have my tablet, I have my smartphone, I have my car. They all belong to the same digital ecosystem and reflect the same digital lifestyle. And there's also in China a strong openness towards technological innovation. Yeah, new technologies are often approached primarily through the lens of, with a view of, with a mindset of opportunity. Yeah, a new technology is always an opportunity rather than a risk. And combined with a comparatively young customer base, yeah, so the car buyer base, the first time car buyer base in China is far younger than in Europe or the US. And combine that and then the widespread familiarity of digital services, this creates a nice ground, a well-set ground for highly connected, feature-rich HMIs. From a European perspective, some of these vehicles can appear like smartphones on wheels. From a Chinese perspective, they represent a logical extension of existing digital habits. Neither approach is better or worse. They simply reflect different user expectations and different social backgrounds. And this is why cultural adaption has become a strategic challenge for Chinese manufacturers entering Europe. A system that delights users in Shanghai may not create the same response in Berlin, Paris, or Milan. European users think and act and feel differently. The challenge for Chinese OEMs, for Chinese car manufacturers in Europe, is not that European customers dislike technology. Rather, that they feel, see, experience, evaluate technology in a different way. European users often place greater emphasis on transparency, predictability, and control. They want to understand why a system behaves in a certain way, what consequences the actions have, and how they can intervene if necessary. This is particularly true in the automotive domain, where vehicles are not only consumer products, but also safety critical systems. I mean, they are also safety critical systems in any other part of the world. It's a matter of how are they perceived, how are they seen, how are they felt. Automated features such as lane keeping, parking assistance, predictive navigation are generally appreciated as long as the behavior remains understandable. Trust tends to erode when systems appear to act independently without clear communication, without logical reasoning. European users also tend to value structured information architectures and consistent interaction models. More features in Europe do not automatically translate into a better user experience. In fact, excessive complexity often creates frustration. So the key question is not what can the system do, but rather how easy is it to accomplish my task? Another top point is data privacy. It presents, creates an important difference between Chinese markets and European markets. Many European users view personal data as something that should remain under their control. Transparency regarding data collection and data usage forms part of the overall user experience. So if I have the feeling that my data is misused, if it is sold to someone else, it influences the entire user experience. It creates a negative emotion. And a similar dynamic applies to artificial intelligence, to AI-powered functions, features, assistance. Proactive recommendations and adaptive behavior can create, of course, a significant value. But users in Europe vary greatly in how much initiative they expect from intelligent systems. How active shall it be? How much shall it approach me? Which way shall it approach me? How often? What one user perceives as helpful, this system does a lot for me. Another one may experience this as unwanted, negative, as an interference. For Chinese manufacturers, the lesson is clear. Europe does not necessarily demand less technology. It demands a different relationship between technology and users. Users want support without losing control. Intelligence without infriction, intrusion. And convenience without losing transparency. So what does Europeanization really mean? When discussing the adaption of Chinese vehicles for Europe, many people think of translating manuals, integrating local services, complying local European Union regulations. And those steps are necessary, no doubt about this. But they're not sufficient. Europeanization is not only about translating language, it is about adapting experiences. Take automation as an example. Modern systems increasingly make decisions. Well, they provide recommendations, they anticipate user needs, they seem to do things they know better than us. And from an engineering perspective, these capabilities can be absolutely impressive. Many European users immediately ask a different question. Why is my vehicle doing this? What is the basis of this? Why is the vehicle making this specific decision? Why is it making this specific suggestion? This creates a growing need for explanations. Users want to understand what information the system used, why it reached a particular conclusion, and what alternatives remain available. The balance between automation and user control becomes critical. While technology should reduce effort, users not necessarily want to delegate every decision. Many European user customers prefer the ability to confirm, to modify, to disable, to control automated vehicle and automated system behaviors. The same principle applies to HMI design. Vehicles packed with features and services, and they do not automatically create a superior user experience. As functionality grows, as feature numbers grow, the ability to reduce complexity becomes more and more important. The debate around physical controls illustrates this point perfectly. While many manufacturers have embraced touchscreen-only strategies, a growing number of users continue to value tactile controls for frequently used features, for safety-relevant functions. So there is this, what I call, the revenge of the analog. We as humans, we're analog beings, and we shall touch something, we want to feel something, and this smooth glass surface of a touchscreen is not very well fitting human needs. And this trend reflects, as I said, the revenge of the analog. Yeah, so not every digital solution creates additional value. Sometimes a physical button, a physical rotary push device, remains the better interface, is the better solution for certain users. Europeanization means translating technological possibilities into experiences that are appropriate in the respective culture. Success will not belong to OEMs that understand how technology works, but success is to those that understand how experiences in different cultural contexts work. What experiences are there? And how do we do this? Localization is the way. And I want to introduce here the term cultural user experience. So that the discussion on localization extends far beyond the automotive industry. For decades, companies have localized products by translating interfaces, adapting measures. Yeah, in units in US it's Fahrenheit, in Europe it's degrees Celsius, it's miles versus kilometers, it's gallons versus liters, and then you take the local regulations, the European Union regulations, the Chinese regulations, the US regulations, and adapt it to that. All absolutely required. All absolutely necessary, all totally good, but this is no longer enough today. And then the next step is what I call cultural user experience. People do not evaluate technology only based on functionality. Users evaluate whether it feels familiar, understandable, appropriate. And these perceptions are deeply influenced by cultural norms, by expectations, by use cases, by culture in general. A user in Germany, France, Sweden may expect something fundamentally different from an intelligent assistant, from an adaptive HMI, than a user in China or South Korea. The technology may be identical, but the reactions to these technologies, how they are used, how they are experienced, how they are accepted, can be totally different. This shifts the central design question from, is the system usable, to, does this experience fit the cultural expectations of its users? This perspective becomes particularly important in the age of artificial intelligence. Intelligent systems more and more make decisions. They provide recommendations, they perform tasks that were previously reserved for humans. So with automation, with artificial intelligence, we grab right into the core relationship between car and driver, and we moderate that, we change that. And this, of course, has consequences. And the success of AI technologies, of adaptive HMIs, of automation, AI-based automation, the success depends not only on what systems can do, on their capabilities, but also on whether their behavior aligns with cultural expectations. The challenge is no longer simply to create intelligent systems. The challenge is to create systems whose intelligence feels culturally adapted, that is appropriate according to culture. As a result, OEMs may increasingly rely on globally standardized technical platforms while tailoring user experiences to regional preferences. We already see similar approaches in streaming services and social networks and e-commerce platforms. Automotive HMIs will probably heading the same direction. Understanding cultural differences will therefore become a powerful competitive advantage. The most technologically advanced solution will not necessarily be the most successful. The winning solution, my point of view, will be the one that feels most natural to the users who use it, to the humans, who is most fitting the contexts users are in. For the future, how can we do this? Global platforms, local experience. This is, in one sentence, the one thing I want to sketch here. And I'm fully aware that this is a very generic overview I'm doing now, and this will not solve every problem. But just as a mindset, the automotive industry is moving more and more toward global standardized software platforms. They are driven by software-defined vehicles, by cloud connectivity, centralized computing architectures, artificial intelligence algorithm. And it's absolutely okay. From a technical perspective, this logic is convincing. It's absolutely okay. It's perfect. Shared platforms reduce cost. They accelerate innovation. They simplify maintenance. Yeah, all this is good things. Now, a paradox emerges. Technology becomes more global, while user expectations become more local. Yeah, humans, users, people don't experience platforms. They experience interfaces. They experience HMIs, human-machine interfaces. This is the connection point. The future challenge is not to develop different vehicles for every market, but to create the appropriate experiences for each and every user, user group, culture.
That's it for today. Thank you for spending time with me. I hope you were able to take something with you and do something for yourself that will be forever. For an ongoing exchange, you will find me on LinkedIn and on my websites, peter-rusker.com and beyond-hmi.de. Write me an email on the podcast at beyond-hmi.de. Tune in next time, take care, and stay healthy.